Let's go.
Yo, what's up, guys? It's Jordan Fisher.
Yeah.
And this is my song,
All About Us, on B93.7.
Fly away with me, baby.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Jordan Fisher, and you are listening to Shorty on B93.7.
By the way, she's a future Hollywood reporter. She has her own website.
Oh, so for real? Come on.
We're gonna get you. We're gonna get her to jump in and ask some questions.
Sweet. Can't wait. Do you live around here?
I do.
Awesome. Unfortunately.
Oh no.
Are you in college?
I'm enrolling.
You're enrolling.
Where are you enrolling at? Let's interview you right now. Let's learn about you.
Major.
Can Jordan ask you questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what's your major?
Communication.
Communications. You can do anything with that.
Yeah.
You can go and live anywhere and work in so many different fields.
Atlanta is my first.
That's where you want to be?
That's
your goal. Have you been to LA?
No, not yet. I got accepted in UCLA.
You got accepted in UCLA?
Well, you got accepted? What are you doing here?
Well,
go. Should she start off?
Why not jump in?
You're like, if you go to, like,
I mean,
you just got to go to LA and jump in. Like, if you jump in and then come back to Greenville, like, I'm going to call you and be like, girl, what are you doing? You've been to LA, right?
What's that?
You've been to LA?
I live there.
So you can tell her all about it.
It's the most amazing place.
It's the best in the world. I've never been, to be honest.
Been to what part? Birmingham? I mean, I'm from there originally, yeah, but I've lived in LA for 9 years now. Yeah.
If you can handle New York, you can definitely handle LA.
He's been in LA for 5 months,
like,
and
yeah, it's way more chill than you think. Like especially if you can handle New York.
It offers so much. That's the thing. Like, you can go to LA, no matter what you do, find a job. It offers, in terms of employment, it's got to be in the top five.
You think over New York? Yeah, you think.
Yeah. I think so.
Are you guys mad that they moved the Tonight Show to New York City? Let's be honest.
No, that's where it should
be. Yeah, you
be.
Think?
Yeah, that's where it's supposed to be, I think.
I mean, so?
Leno's Leno, and he's got to be close to his car.
I was never a fan of his, man.
Yeah.
He was always cheesy.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's always cheesy funny to me.
I performed on his last show.
Really?
Yeah. I was clad in Lederhosen singing So Long Farewell from Sound of Music.
Really?
Yeah.
You did the Grease Live thing too, right?
I did do Grease Live.
Yo, how was that? That's like a one shot, like you can't get it wrong.
You can't. That's why you rehearse for 9 weeks, 10 to 7 every day.
Shoo. Where was it filmed at?
Warner Brothers.
In LA.
It was in LA. We had three sound stages. We had like half of the front lot, or back lot rather, and we had like 23 carts. We had like 63 cameras and operators.
Damn.
It was a
big production.
It was, but yeah, I mean, you get 3 hours on live TV to try to make the thing as humanly perfect as possible. Like, it's gotta, you know, you can't be thinking about it.
Were there any screw ups or anything? You look back and you're like, I kind of missed my mark there.
The night of, nah, not really. I mean,
no.
You know, Vanessa's dad passed the night before. Vanessa Hudgens, yeah. And
was that tough on her?
It was. You know, we all kind of in our own time went up to her and asked her, like, you know, what can we do to help you through the day? Like, how can we make this? She's like, honestly, just being around you guys, being here and doing the show is definitely the best.
Because she seemed like nothing had happened, you know, like when you watch it.
She's a pro.
Because, like, it's weird how, like, people were like, can you block stuff out? I mean, like if something has happened in your life, I mean, can you just block it out and continue doing what you got to do? You know, Weird Al Yankovic, his parents died. And this is a weird thing to, like, bring up, but his parents died of carbon monoxide. What are they called?
Carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah. They died in their sleep, and then the next night he had to do a 2-hour show. So I was like, and for me, it's like, I'm so emotional. Like, I would just be like, screw this. I can't, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do it as far as the start? You just kind of block stuff out.
I mean, you kind of have to. That's the thing. Like, you know, where Vanessa's concerned, I mean, granted, this production was a little more immobile.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, just the pliability and how we could do the show, if we could do it another day or do it hours late, we couldn't.
That way
we had our slot. We had
and you
our
couldn't
date.
Obviously you couldn't replace her.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously you've been rehearsing for so long.
Exactly. I mean, for her, there was no question in her mind as to whether or not she was going to go on. And she was going to do it. There's an old saying. I mean, the show must go on. It's just kind of the thing. And really, what separates the mice from the men, and you know, the sheep from the whatever. I don't know.
Yo, how old are you, by the way? I was looking through your press release, but I didn't see that. How old are you?
22.
Dude, you speak like just like so like profound. Like you were in my boss's office and you were talking about Star Wars, which I know nothing about.
Man, we gotta change that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We'll send you some DVDs.
I need to not watch the Jar Jar Binks one, right?
Where
do I need to start?
You need to go in like not chronological order, because that'd be 1 through 6. You need to go in the order of which it was released, 4 right. through 6, and then 1 through 3, and then watch 7. Like it will.
I think that's what messes me up, man, is you got to start, you know, I think Dave told me that. You got to start like there. You got to go back.
You do. It's just like if you want to feel it the way that we felt it as fans, you know, you grow up watching the older ones, the 4 through 6. Like that's Star Wars. That's the story. And then George Lucas, as much money as God, you know, it was just like, I want to do 1, 2, and 3. And everybody was like, not a good idea. And he goes, screw it. I don't care. I'm George Lucas. Right. I'm going to do it. And he did it. And he made Jar Jar Binks and everybody, you know, whatever. He gave his Darth Maul. Darth Maul is the freaking, he's the guy. He's the villain.
You are a star. Like you love
Star Wars.
Love it, right?
Not like I love Harry Potter though.
See, I like Harry Potter. Yo, I'm with you on Harry Potter.
Have you
been to the what is it?
In Disney? Is it
Orlando is the Universal Studios.
So ask our boss Super Dave about that. He buys a yearly pass for him and his parents to go, and he goes 3 times a year.
Really?
That's all he does. Like he doesn't go to like England, or he doesn't go to London. That's where he goes every year for vacation. So he goes.
You go 3 times a year too.
Yeah, 3.
Good for him.
I've never been.
So I mean, living in LA, we have, I think, what was it, like 7 theme parks within like an hour and a half radius of us. We have Disneyland, California Adventure, Six Flags, Hurricane Harbor, Knott's Berry Farm, Legoland, and Universal Studios.
We make Greenville sound boring, man.
Yeah, I mean,
we're like an hour and a half from like Carowinds.
LA offers so much. It really, like, you can literally move to LA and do whatever you want ever. If it's in work, if it's in the entertainment industry, if it's in, like, you know, blue collar, white, you know, corporate, whatever, you can literally do whatever you want. There's an opening for whatever you want to do in LA.
We were kind of talking, there's awesome. A listener here in the studio. We were kind of talking about
Michaela, right?
Michaela.
Hi, Michaela.
What's your website? Popmail.com. Okay, so she's you know starting her own thing, and she said she got accepted into UCLA, and this was off the air. Obviously, we were you know talking, and she was like, "Oh, I kind of want to like start into it small, and especially like with your career. Like, what did you do? Just one day you were like, yo, I got to do all the because not only like do you sing and dance, and you're on Grease, and you're on the Disney Channel. Mm. I mean, was it all kind of just all at once, or was it all kind of slowly building? How'd you, you know, any advice from Michaela over here to be a superstar?
It took moving to LA, first of all. That's the biggest thing, really. I mean, you know, I'm grateful because I grew up with parents, with a family that supported everything that I did. I was a gymnast for 12 years, so we had, I mean, between travel and hours and money and time spent in the gym and all that stuff, like that was my entire life. And then all of a sudden I went home and told my family that I fell in love with art and theater and acting and singing and dancing and making music and all that. And they were like, okay, great. Like that, their biggest thing was do what you love and money will come. And that's just that, you know. My advice for people that are seeking this industry and are, you know they want to be able to do TV, film, music, what have you, is always know why you're doing it.
Right.
So many people chase the hollow things. So many people chase the things that don't, you know, give you anything that's conducive for your growth as a human being. If it's fame, if it's money, if it's material thing, like yes, you get perks for sure. Like that kind of comes with it. But if you pay your dues. That's really the biggest thing. If you move to LA and you are going to audition after audition and you get all of the inevitable no's that you will get, mind you, when you finally get that yes, you know, after again you're separated, once you've separated the mice from the men, once you know, if you go out and you're auditioning for things nonstop or you're pursuing record labels or what have you, you will get no's before you get the yes, but it's a matter of what you do with those no's. If you let those no's kind of beat you down and, you know, kind of you use that, you know, as an excuse to kind of say, maybe this, I'm not cut out for this thing. Then, you know, you go home and you do your thing. It's not your destiny, right? It's not your thing.
But I think
if
it's
you
like
do what you love, then
not giving up. I mean, like, it's funny you say that because like, especially in radio, you know, like, I mean, I started out a billion years ago, like a college station, there was like 2 people listening to me, you know, it's just like, you know, I was just trying to, you know, sharpen my career. And then, sure. of course, you know, I went to another radio station. I got fired. I went to another radio station. I got fired.
You paid your dues.
You know, so it's like, yeah, paying your dues. And especially when people in radio today, like, they're just like, all right, well, I'm in radio. And so now I want to, you know, be on the air 5 days a week, you know, like I am now.
Right.
And I'm blessed because, I mean, I will say, like, I'm working in at the station.
Yeah.
That I grew up listening to as a kid.
That's
so
awesome.
It's like, it's one of those like dream jobs that I shouldn't have, but there are kids in radio that
but you should.
But I've also, you know, it's also been a 15-year journey of like getting there. So how far back did you
12
start?
12 years ago.
Yeah. So you, I mean, you started a long time ago. Yeah. What was your first gig?
In TV or film or
anything
at all. I there was a girl in fifth grade that I had a crush on that joined the drama club, and we did Schoolhouse Rock Junior, and she asked me if I was joining the drama club, and I was like, yeah, duh. I had no clue what I was getting myself into. She was cute and I wanted to hang out with her. So
how that worked out?
She asked me if I was joining the drama club. So I was like, I am 100% joining the drama club. Why would you even ask me that? I'll see you this afternoon.
But you had no clue.
I had no clue what it was or what I was getting myself into. And I fell in love. I fell in love with acting and music and art and dance and, you know, the whole entertainment. You know, that was really the biggest thing. Like, in hindsight's always 20/20. I loved making people happy. I've always loved making people. I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And entertainment, what that does for me, whether I'm laughing or crying or, you know, angry or what have you, if I'm watching a film or at a concert or something and I feel feelings, I'm enjoying myself. I'm happy, right? And like that experience you can't replicate. And bringing people that kind of joy and being able to take people out of the real world for 2 hours or whatever the thing is, like, that's what I wanted to do. I enjoyed, like, I got a lot out of that. So I was like, this is pretty freaking fun. And then I went pre-med and my plan B kind of started sneaking up a little too quickly. And I had a bit of a panic attack because I was about to go to school for 8 years to do something I was good at rather than something that I loved. And then I booked an ABC Family show that moved me to LA. It was called Secret Life of the American Teenager.
So what do you enjoy going back to, like, Greece? Obviously, yeah. Greece was live. It, you know, it's there.
Was it?
Yeah, I mean, you were live on NBC. What do you like better? You like multi-camera, you know, sitcoms like the Sea Cat show on Disney, or do you like
the
that?
Sea Cat show.
Or do you like the live stuff? Like, what's, you know, for me, like, obviously, you know, when I do the show, it's live, but I also like the pre-recorded bits that I do on the show because it's I can craft it. But do you enjoy it more where it's like, I've got one shot to get this right?
Art's art, yeah. You know, and that's really kind of, I've submitted to that. I've completely relinquished my craft to that point right there.
Yeah.
I love whatever I'm doing in that moment. If it's a single cam drama and I've got a script that is, you know, deep and passionate or it's, you know, what have you, I love that thing. I'm in love with that project. I'm in love with that thing that I'm doing then in that moment, and I don't imagine myself doing anything but that thing right there. And once the film's done, I move on to the next thing. If it's a television series, if it's a sitcom, and we've got a studio audience and it's multicam, it's kind of theatrical,
right?
You know? So I kind of get that thing. It's great. It's a blast. The interaction between the actors and the people that are in the studio audience, you know, kind of keeping each other entertained during the long out, like, shoot hours. It's a blast. You know, I mean, doing theater is a blast too. It's that same mentality. You get 2 hours on a stage and whatever happens, happens. And that thing you can't replicate. That's why people still pay, you know, buttloads of money to go see Hamilton for $900 in the back of a mezzanine with an obstructed view. Like, people,
right.
there's an energy there that you can't replicate. And that's why people do it still. That's why people still, you know, pay $900 to go to an Adele show. Because
I don't pay $900. I mean, I like Adele.
Hello from the parking lot.
I don't mind Adele. Like, I'm not trying to knock her, but like, what do you do at an Adele show? Like, I mean,
I'd
end up crying. Yeah, crying
and laugh. She's hilarious.
Is she? Okay.
She's really, really funny.
Speaking of moving into singing, I mean, so you sing as well. The John Legend "All of Me" cover.
Oh, with the McLean sisters.
Was it All of Me or Ordinary People?
I did both, actually. I did All of Me with some friends called the McLean sisters, or McLean rather. A couple of years ago, it was like that the Ordinary People cover that did that like 4 years
ago. Dude, that's an amazing song.
Thanks, dude.
Have you met John since then? And
we talked on the phone for a little while. We were talking about some manager stuff, and I talked to him for like half an hour. He just had his baby, and
Chrissy Teigen is hilarious on Twitter. By the way,
she's hilarious. I would like to meet her one day. She's funny. But I'm a huge fan of his. Yeah, that video, that's such an old video. I, I need to get it down.
No, 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 no. No. You know what's funny is when I first started in radio,
yeah.
John Legend came to actually the studio you were just at before us.
Oh, nice.
And I just started, and I walked in to the studio there, and John Legend is sitting there with his piano out on the table and like about to sing Ordinary People, and I was like, oh my, like it was one of those moments, you know, I'm watching John Legend sing Ordinary People in front of
me. In my face.
Right, yeah. And of course, this is back, see, back in my day, this is back before like YouTube and,
back in my day, and
Twitter, so I had, you know, I don't have any proof because right. I had a little brick phone, you know, it had Snake on it, you remember right. all that? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, little Nokia thing.
Exactly, yeah, like so I didn't have like, you know, anything to capture right. by, it's just all in my head.
The crazy thing about social media, like, how does it help or does it hurt? You know, there's definitely elements of it that are great for brands and business,
yeah.
and, you know, for actors and artists to be able to connect with fans and that kind of thing. But
clearly helping you. I mean, I tweeted you, and within like 5 minutes, you were like, yo, what's good?
Well, that's the thing. Like, the tangibility factor is definitely there, too. So then there's the whole dynamic of people being upset when you don't respond to them or what have you. And
yeah, but who can't, like, you can't get to everybody.
No, you can't. But
don't you
want to
be like when they
that.
Tweet you? Don't and they're like, you didn't respond back to me. Don't you kind of want to be like,
oh,
seriously?
Man.
Like, we're.
I've got this one fan.
Oh, shout him out. What's the name?
I don't even know the name of it because he or she will tweet from a different handle all the time, and they'll be like, why do you hate your German fans? You never respond to us, meaning the one fan that, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you joking me? It's like, but people get upset
because they think you're. You hate Germany? Like.
Well, no. People get upset because I have my phone on me. They expect for me to be on Twitter and see every tweet and do that.
But obviously,
thing.
You're doing other things. I mean, you can't be at Grease Live and be like, oh.
Exactly, right.
Or, you know, during the interview, I mean, I wouldn't care if you did, but I mean, like.
Oh, I would. I would never do that.
I get so angry. Like, trust me, like, there are listeners even to me that, like, when they don't win Selena Gomez tickets, they'll tweet me or direct message me, like, go F yourself. I'm like, I don't control this. Like, this is not.
They're also behind a phone, and they're like 11 years old.
I call them keyboard gangsters.
They
like,
are.
Say it to my face.
They're little
like,
type thugs, aren't they?
But can you imagine like an 11 year old coming up to me and like, man, F you. Yeah. You get a Selena Gomez ticket. It's like, I mean, come on.
No,
I
just, it's the truth.
With you, I only have like a couple thousand. You have a couple hundred thousand. I can only imagine, you know.
Yeah, you know, you just kind of figure out how to maintain it. And I'm grateful that people listen to my music and watch my stuff.
Like, yeah.
I literally wouldn't be able to do what I loved if they didn't. You
sure.
know what I mean? Like, I'd
kind
of be at square one. And so I'm grateful. I'm super grateful for the fans. And
of course, you know, I mean, not to brag, but, you know, B93.7 gave your own Snapchat filter.
Come on.
You know,
come
that
on.
Other station you were at earlier.
Oh, man.
Didn't do that. You know what I'm saying?
No. Nobody goes under the bus.
I'm just kidding.
Jordan's
no, we're good friends with
it. No, I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
Hey, I want to do something. Michaela has come. She has her own website and everything.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is I'm going to step away. I'm going to let you sit here, right
uh-oh.
Here. If you got some questions, is that okay? And let her ask some questions.
100%.
Is that all right? All right. I'm stepping away from the booth. Here we go.
Awesome.
It's all you. You're running the ship.
Just so you guys know, Michaela has perfect teeth. They can't see it.
Just make sure to get up in the microphone and be good to go.
Okay.
Hi, Michaela.
Hi, Jordan.
B93.7. How you doing?
good. Okay, so when I was driving on my way here, I was kind of thinking, everybody kind of wants to be where you are right now. Like, not just with the fame, but with your success. Yeah, they really do. So
Thank you.
Legit advice would you have? Because I know everybody, you know, follow your dreams, this and this. What legitimate advice would you have for people who...
You know, there is a cliche factor to the whole, you know, don't let anybody tell you that you can't, like that kind of thing. But there's more truth to that, I think, than, you know, what we give it. I think that if you do what you love, and only worry about doing what you love, the financial aspect of things will come naturally. I think that if you love acting, if you love writing, if you love making music, if you love dancing, if you love doing whatever it is in the entertainment industry, you know, just for all intents and purposes, that's what we're talking about now, then do it. You know, Do it because you love it. Don't do it because you're chasing the hollow things. Don't do it because you're chasing fame. Like, you can know what? No, you can't give me three reasons why fame is like great and how it's beneficial for your life. There aren't three reasons why fame is beneficial for your life. You know, the financial aspect of things, like, there, you know, that comes when you put in the time and the work and the effort and all of that. But really, the biggest thing is going back to the first thing, like, not letting anybody tell you no. You're gonna get no's. You know, you're going to audition if you want to do film, if you want to do TV. You're going to get 100 no's before you get that first yes. And when you do, it's so, so sweet. But in those no's, you have to recognize that oftentimes it's a look. Oftentimes it's, you know, it's just not the right role for you. Or it's supposed to go to somebody else because somebody else has been paying their dues a little bit longer and laying their foundation. And they have the relationship with the casting director, or with the director, or with the producer, what have you. I mean, the factors are endless. But if you continue to do it, people see that. And as they see that, the name, the word starts spreading through the industry, which, mind you, is this big. I'm holding up my I'm making a zero with my hands, by the way. It's this big. The industry is this big. And everybody talks. And if you do what you love and you work hard at it, you will find success. That's just how it is.
Simple as that.
It's a simple algorithm. There's no crazy chemistry behind it. If you keep doing it, and you don't stop doing it, and you constantly strive to get better at it, and you remain humble, and you treat people with decency and kindness, you will get help, and people will love you, and people will take care of you. The industry will love. Karma's a real thing, you know. God takes care of his, and that's just kind of what it is. And if you just do the freaking thing, and you constantly just keep working at it, you will eventually find success. That's just how it is. No one's an overnight success. It takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to work hard enough.
Exactly. People, you know, they hear my song on the radio or see my thing on TV or in a movie theater, what have you, and they're like, "Where'd this kid come from?" I've been around for a minute. I've been doing it. I've been like paying my dues and working hard and trying to make myself better. But nobody sees that side of things. They see the successful parts. Mm-hmm. That's it. No, that's really it. You know.
Yeah. Put in the work. In the work.
That's it. Just put in the work.
So, okay. So in your transitioning process, like, for example, you went from ABC's The Secret Life of the American Teenager to maybe a less mature, like a Disney Channel show, like when you did Liv and Maddie. Is there like a mentality you have to have when you're transitioning between a more mature and then a less mature kind of aspect?
I don't think so. I don't think that there's any kind of shift in my mentality. I don't think there's any shift in my kind of cultural plane, if you will. Like, I think that you know, being an actor, you meld and you create a new mold for yourself for whatever project you're working on at that point. You know, I was working on Liv and Maddie and Teen Wolf at the same time. You know what I mean? I literally would be on set for Liv and Maddie in the morning and then, you know, drive to San Pedro and do a night shoot for Teen Wolf. And, like, you know, two completely different shows, two completely different demographics. And, you know, you just, as an actor, you kind of just phase into whatever it is that you're doing. And that's just kind of it. You know what I mean? I think if there is any kind of, like, cultural dynamic shift, I guess, in Jordan Fisher's career and his life, you know, like, as I'm growing as a human, I'm trying to kind of stay away from the younger demographic, you know, just because I'm aging. Like, the music that I make is for, you know, 18 to 32 year old, you know, people. Like, that's kind of my demo, and that's kind of what I aim for. So I think at that point, it just kind of comes down to branding and working with your team to make sure that the decisions that you make and the projects that you take are right for you.
Yeah. And then one last question. What future projects do you have now? Like, is there anything, you know, kind of major that you're excited about? Because I'm excited about it. So
my album. My album, it's done, and I'm excited to share it with everybody. So that's my life right now, is this radio tour. This is the eighth week of this, you know, 9-week-long extravaganza of running all over the country and playing shows all over the place and meeting everybody and doing the thing and trying to get my record to get spun and getting people excited about my music, my baby, what I've been working on tirelessly for the last 2 years-ish. I'm excited to share it. Thanks, Michaela.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
I think she did a better job than I did.
Oh, man, no.
Great. That's awesome. It. I quit. I'm going to let her have my job.
Absolutely.
Josh, she's great. Bringing you awesome. Have to sing a little something real quick.
Sweet.
They're not
going to
sing the single.
Yeah, we're okay. But All About Us is a single. Yes. So that's the one you want to push?
Yes.
You sure? Yes. Positive? Dude, she's great, by the way.
She's awesome.
Yes, is she all right? I mean,
she's great.
She treating you well in the tour?
Absolutely. This is
day one.
No, she was really great. Like, we were emailing back and forth, and within like 30 seconds, you were just like all over it. So.
Oh, whoops. I do this all the time.
Dude, it's fine. Honestly, man, these things are so old. I'm going to complain. Go down to my GM and be like, listen. So let's talk about the single real quick before you bust out this other song. You were talking about with Michaela, you were talking about. This is your baby. This is, you know, what you live for. Let me ask first of why this song for the single. Like,
that's
why,
a great
question.
You know, I mean, I'm trying to develop a sonic foundation that people can have when you hear my name. Like, you want to have kind of a sound that people relate you to. You know, and All About Us really feels like the best way to introduce myself as an artist, as a person, my genre, my lane, my everything that I am, and there wasn't really a question as to which song should be the first single. All About Us just felt like the best way to set that tone, and then of course there's single two and single three and single four that were, you know, that are all like lined
up. But this
is
your first. I mean, this was the one you had to pick.
This is the one.
Are you having a say in any of this? Because I mean, like, we hear how record companies sometimes. That no offense. I mean, how some.
You'll like my answer.
Well, you do. You hear how some artists, they bash their record company and they would never let me do this and they'd never let me do this. And, you know, Kelly Clarkson, I think, was one time talking about how American Idol had every decision made for her. Mm-hmm. Are you going in saying, hey, look, guys, this is it?
Mm-hmm.
And they're trusting you.
I told them what I wanted to do and they said, all right, perfect, go do it.
Is that not more pressure though? Like,
not at all.
You're picking it.
Not at all.
You know.
No, because I'm doing what I'm confident.
Right.
I'm doing what I love. I'm making the music that I've wanted to make for forever. The music video are all my people, my director, my DP, my choreographers, my dancers, my stylists, my producer. Like, I'm able to do what I want to do, and I have a label that
allows you
develops careers. You know, they don't just throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and sees what sticks. They trust their artists. Like, I'm able to do what I want to do, and I love that. It's
well, that's
best
good
way to get started in this.
But I mean, that's good, because I mean, like, even in, you know, just taking that into the radio aspect of things, and luckily I work for a company that allows me to be creative. But I mean, look, there are jocks across the country that are told, hey, you talk about this and you're not allowed to talk about anything else. Yeah. And you know, artists are given songs and said, hey, put this on the record.
Yeah.
You know, you have no choice. So it's good that, you know, people are allowing you to have this freedom.
There's not one song on my record that I was forced to put on my record. Everything that's on my album, there's songs that, I mean, of the last 80 songs I've written and cut over the last year and a half, they're all, like, I've got, you know, a track listing that I'm so proud of.
Any songs that you didn't put on the album, but you're like, you know what, I'll probably save this for the next album?
There's a handful. There's
or do
a handful.
You throw them away.
No, I don't throw anything away. I go back to. So we'll go back and, like, you know, listen to things. This is Nicholas, my guitarist. He's awesome. I'll go back and, like, play him old stuff that I've written in the last, like, 6 months, year,
right,
or what have you. And he's like, dude, this, like, why right can't this go on the album?
Right.
You know, sometimes I'll write a song and it's not for me. It's for somebody else. But I have them. You know. And
you ever give them to other? Not give them, but do you ever go to another artist and say, hey, this is what I did, but eh.
Yeah, I have.
Maybe
a couple,
like,
of times.
Hey,
give
me some coin.
I've got a couple of songs in, like, Japan and Korea that are charting and doing that thing too for different artists over there, and a couple artists over here as well that, you know,
good,
seeing,
man,
if it's gonna make albums and that kind of thing. But I love to create.
Moving, man. You're old, like, I don't know where you sleep. Like, when do you have time?
I don't. No. Literally, I haven't slept in the last, like, bit. No, I had red eye last night.
You said, well, this is the 8 of 9 weeks?
This is the 8th week, yeah.
All across the country? Are you sick of us?
Going to France next weekend.
Are you sick of us radio people yet? Come on.
No, I mean, like, I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely some radio people that, like,
I try not to be like, hey, everybody, we got Jordan Fisher in the studio.
Everybody, what's up, everybody? We got Jordan Fisher in the studio. And that's fine. Like, if it's genuine, if that's
right,
just how you are as a person, if there's authenticity there, that's great. There's some radio people that, like, are a little too big for their britches. And
we'll talk off the air.
Yeah.
I want to know who.
You know,
we won't put it on the air.
You know, it is what it is.
Song you're about to sing is what?
This is All I Want to Do. This is a song. Do you want to do All I Want to Do? Is that cool? Cool. Okay.
He just pulled out his guitar.
Yeah, he's like, that's all I want to do.
Little impromptu thing.
Yeah, this song's on the record. It's I'm excited for everybody to hear it. There's some fun aspects to it that are on the track itself. This is a fun acoustic version.
Drifting into outer space. Daydream pulled me away. Baby, working up the nerve to say that I got a secret. Yeah, I got a secret. Yeah, all I wanna do is think about what you think about when you think about me. All I wanna know is every night, are you dreaming like, dreaming like me? I'm in paradise with you as we circle around the moon. Hey, all I wanna do is think about what you think about when you think about me. Oh, and I've been thinking about your skin in places we've never been. Baby, life's too short for secrets. I'll tell you mine next time you see me. Do anything that you like. All I wanna do is think about what you think about when you think about. All I wanna know is every night, are you dreaming like me? I'm in paradise with you as we circle around the moon. Hey, all I wanna do is think about what you think about when you think about.
I'm gonna hand you this water. So I got one more question for you.
Over the board. Yeah. What if I just spilled all over your board? Just now?
We need a new one anyway.
Oh, okay, tight. Whoops.
No, I'd probably be fired. Absolutely, this is like $30,000. So you'd be like, hey, you're not gonna get paid this year.
This year, no.
Yo, so one more question, and I promise I'll let you guys get out of here. The girl from fifth grade.
Yeah, Emmy.
I mean.
She
got married?
Yeah, she's married.
Yo, she's kicking herself right now.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Dude, her husband's, her husband's probably just like, you know, roaming around with a regular job. You're over here, celebrity land.
I think he's like a high school history teacher.
Really?
Yeah. He's awesome though. I played baseball at UAB, but he
You talk to her still?
No, I deleted my Facebook earlier this year actually. So
really?
You
got sick of it too, huh?
Yeah. I
the fan page, I guess, right?
Oh yeah, I got the fan page, but it just got to be too much. I didn't want to care about other people's drama.
Yeah.
And then everybody that like kind of wants to, you know, claim me, it kind of just got gross. You know what I mean?
Really?
But there's funny enough,
claim you and what
just kind of like, you know, oh, like I'm so pretty. People like from Birmingham that I didn't even know really, but like right. because I'm from Birmingham, like, oh, like I'd see an article and they'd be like, I'm so proud of Jordan, like, really? Oh yeah, I knew him with blah, blah, you know what I mean? It's people that like I never really knew, you know, but it's just kind of like part of the thing, you know. I have my people in my life, my circles that mean, you know, the world
you
to me.
You and the fifth grader just didn't.
We dated in fifth grade. How do you date in fifth grade, though? Yeah. You like awkwardly wave at each other in the hallway and like maybe hold hands if you get lucky. Yeah. Like, you know, but that was the best, though, you know. Yeah. But it's funny because her brother-in-law, Christian, he and I were in every grade together growing up. And then I actually taught their little sister dance. And then their dad was my baseball coach. Like, right. Yeah, they had a really cool ice cream shop in Trussville, Alabama, where I'm originally from.
So have you guys been to Birmingham yet? Have you already been through?
I'm doing a show there next month.
Okay, are you going to the Q?
Yes, we are going to the Q. Sweet!
So you guys, you grew up listening.
I did.
You remember a guy named Silas?
Silas.
He did nights on 103.7
yes.
Q. Okay, he used to work here.
No way.
Yeah, he used to do nights here, and now he's back here.
No way.
He's out of radio now. But I was wondering. I was like, I wonder if you know Silas. And then my buddy Chris filmed. There was a football show on MTV that was filmed down there. Do you remember that? What was it? Two-a-days? Was that a show? Maybe I don't know.
It sounds like a football thing though. Two-a-days, like the gym.
Because like football is huge. I mean, obviously down there. But yeah, he was on the MTV circuit doing two-a-days or some kind of show, football show for them down there. And then he, now he's doing like motion picture movies.
Wow.
Again, it goes back to like what you were saying with Michaela. Like, I mean, he started out doing just like films around Greenville here, you right. know, for himself just to kind of get known. And then now look at him, you know, kind of same Dude, thing with thing. Everybody, you know.
That's awesome. Kinda.
But, well, I'm sorry, you and the girl didn't work out, man.
Nah, that is what it is. She's out there, man. She's married.
Sounds like she's doing well. Jordan, man, I appreciate you coming through. Seriously, you were a hell of an
Thanks,
interview.
Man. Appreciate good. It, man. So, likewise.
Thank appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
That's it, everybody. Round of applause.
Awesome. Hey.